Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
I did it again.
What happened?
Again?
You know...
Come on.
Tell me if this has happened to you. I like to carry around a reusable water bottle. Mm-hmm. I like to have my water with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I, at least once a week, forget to tighten the lid.
Oh, and put it in your bag.
And put it in my bag.
Oh, no.
And then I go to reach in and grab something.
And it's
and
wet.
I have a soaked wallet and...
No, are you serious?
Really? And I do this all the time and I don't know why. I think that I'm closing things, but I don't.
Okay.
You need
I can't relate
with an outside pocket or something.
I don't know how to help you.
I was going to say, you're going to need to hold it in your hand instead of putting it in your bag, because I don't know how to fix that.
Well, the funny thing is my mom has this problem.
Really?
And so when
so
I,
this is genetic.
It is. It's genetic and generational. This is Carl and Crew, by the way. I'm Allie. We've got the team minus Carl, who's got some fun projects happening in his life today. So all good stuff. He even said he might pop in and say hello.
What?
Because he's going to be on campus doing some fun stuff to get ready for his book launch.
Oh, so you don't have one man down or anything like that?
So not a man down. We might even see his crazy self at some point in time this morning. So we'll see. Stand by for that. But yeah, so when I go home to visit my parents, my mom and dad have this sort of running, I don't want to call it feud because it's good natured, but if my mom goes, you can always tell if my mom has been the last one to like pour a glass of milk or pour a glass of juice or use the mayonnaise because she always leaves lids like not quite on there, like halfway on. So my dad, bless his heart, he'll just open the refrigerator and he'll be like, well, I guess your mom was using the milk again. Look at this cat. And he'll pull it out and it's like halfway on.
Oh, no.
I guess I get it from mom. I don't quite close caps.
Do you not close it because you're thinking in 2 seconds I'm going to use it again?
No, I think that I've closed it.
Oh, you forget. Okay.
I try. I guess I just don't tighten it enough so that it just kind of leaks out.
Okay, so who's getting the genes, the daughter or the son here?
Yeah, I know.
Where's it going?
I don't know. Probably both.
Oh, no.
Both of my kids will probably end up doing this. But yes, I know. I stuck my hand in my purse right before the mics went on, and I just came out and was like,
no.
And I'm soaked again. Do you guys have anything any kind of mistake that you make over and over again?
Regular.
And you go, why do I keep doing this to myself?
Okay, first it was the ID. I kept
losing
my ID.
Right.
Remember that?
It was every week.
I would just not know where my ID is. And then I would leave it places and you guys would find it.
Yeah. We would walk in the studio and there's her ID on the counter. And we all knew she'd already left. And so we're like, give it 10 minutes and we're going to hear from her when she can't get anywhere.
So I have this, it's actually like a step-by-step process of forgetting things. You're going to understand when I explain it, but I'll use my gym bag as an explanation. So, you know, there's like showers and stuff at the gym, you know, extra pair of clothes after you're done that I want to take with me sometimes. So I get my gym bag all ready and then I forget to pack it. Then the next time I pack it, but I leave it at home.
Oh my goodness.
Then the next time I pack it and I put it in the car, but then I leave it in the car and I don't recognize it until I'm done.
Oh,
then
man.
After that, I pack it, I take it with, I start to go towards the gym, I turn around and grab it from the car. And then the next time I can fully take it with me. This happens to a lot of different things.
Really?
Yes. Oh, it happens to my face mask for COVID stuff. It happens to my water bottle that I bring to work. It happens to my gym bag.
Where you'll get a step further each time you attempt to pull off the whole task.
And my wife has actually commented on this with me. So you have good
She's
witness
noticed.
Here. Eyewitness that this is something that does happen.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh my.
That's a funny quirk. You know that, right?
Yes. I don't know why it happens. I really hate it. Because I'd really like to just bring it every time. It takes up a ton of time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Super
die. That's the way it goes.
Any funny things you typically...
My oddball one is my glasses. Because I really only need it for long distance, okay?
Oh,
I'm nearsighted.
So you don't wear them short.
I don't wear them a lot, and I don't wear them a lot at home. So if I'm really tired or I'm going... I mean, I'm in the car. I'm at the corner turning out of my... I'm going... Why is the stop sign? Oh, my glasses are still upstairs. I will have to turn around and go put my glasses on.
Oh, no.
I have done that. Yes. Matter of fact, I did that once last week.
And then you kind of laugh at yourself, right?
Later.
You go, like, why do I do this? Yeah. Why do I do this to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. What do you think? Do you have one of those quirky things that you do all the time? Forget your phone. It's right in your hand. Lose your keys. What is that quirky thing that you keep doing and you're not really sure why? Give us a text on this one. 312-274-9624. We've been a theme this week. Great, hard, but good to talk about theme. Broken things. Mm. We had a phenomenal conversation yesterday. Broken lives. Talking about backsliding. Talking about broken leaders. If you missed that yesterday, I want to encourage you to get the showcast. You can always get that by texting the word show to 312-274-9624. Today is Freedom Friday. We're talking about broken souls. Coming up, I'm going to take you back to college volleyball. Yeah, I was a college volleyball player. I'll tell you about it. Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. It's Freedom Friday here on Carl and Crew. We've got the team in place minus Carl. I'm Allie. Carl's just taking a day working on some, you guessed it, some book stuff. That's been the reason for most of his missed days this year.
He takes time off of work to work on his book.
Only Carl.
He did get one vacation, 2 weeks vacation. We tease him about that.
Forget about that one.
But the rest of his random days off have been book related. His book is slated to come out beginning of next year, so you'll be hearing a lot more about it. I am excited. I get a preview copy to read. So I'm going to get to read the whole thing before it officially releases.
Oh, sure.
I'm pumped about that so that I can give Carl some feedback. I'm really excited about it. We're talking about broken things this week. Today, broken souls. Maybe little known fact about me. I was a college volleyball player. I played 2 years of college volleyball. One first year was a small school in Arkansas, of all places.
Wow.
Okay. So I went away.
Arkansas. Okay.
Yeah, so I went away to a little school called Henderson State University in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. Yep.
Okay. It got silent.
Just a little blip on the map.
Yeah.
Had a friend who went there and who said, hey, you should come there. You would maybe love to join the volleyball team here. So on a whim, 2 weeks before school started, I decided not to go to my school in my hometown, and I up and went away to Arkansas. About broke my mom's heart.
Oh, I'm
sure.
And then after a year, I transferred to go a little bit closer to home to a state school here in Illinois. So I played volleyball. So this was spring training. And we were, you know, spring training, you're just doing drills and things to try to prep for the next season. So that's what this was. It was probably maybe March, April. So we're in a big open space, and there wasn't even a net. We were just doing agility drills, jumping drills. My biggest strength as a volleyball player was a blocker. So jumping was my thing.
Okay.
So this was a drill where we had to do a sequence of footwork and then a jump to kind of mimic what you would do when you were blocking. So we would have to go around and kind of take turns doing this. So this was a totally normal afternoon. And then out of nowhere, I jumped and my ankle just kind of collapsed under me.
Oh,
so
no.
Nobody ran into me. I didn't land on anything. Nobody was even around me. So it was kind of embarrassing because I just collapse in a heap in the middle of this big gym floor.
No.
I mean, talk about like clumsy. I just... My ankle just turned when I landed. It just didn't hold my weight. And so I couldn't like get up, and I had to be helped out of the gym. And volleyball's hard on your ankles.
Yeah.
So I had sprained ankles before. So I didn't really think much out of it. I was on crutches for a little while. And then pretty soon I was back to training, trying to get ready to play. And so I'm doing all kind of things, and I still am having this like nagging pain. So I'm doing exercises and physical therapy. I'm taping it up for support. I mean, I'm doing the ice bucket thing. Have you ever had to stick your foot in a whole bucket of?
No, but that sounds horrible.
Oh, man. Or get into like a cold whirlpool.
Just rough.
It is rough. So I was doing all these things and it just wasn't healing. And so months go by and I'm still kind of hobbling along playing, but just not at 100%. I finally go in and get an x-ray and I see something that shocked me. My ankle was not sprained. It was fractured.
Oh. Oh, man. Oh no, you should not have been on it.
No, not at all.
And it was a small fracture, so it wasn't like a massive break where it would have been obvious.
Yeah.
I was able to continue kind of doing things at about 75-80%, but there was this fracture in my ankle. So then, of course, I had to go in the boot and do all of that stuff. But here's why I'm telling you this story. You can't fix what you don't know is broken.
Oof.
You ever realize that? I was doing all kind of things to try to get the pain in my ankle that I didn't really know what was causing it, but I knew there was pain. So the taping and the icing and the strengthening, all of those things were kind of getting me by day to day. But it wasn't until I went and got that x-ray and saw what was really going on inside my ankle that I could do something about it. I think you see where I'm going with this. Today we're talking about broken souls. I think there are two kinds of people. All of us are broken. How do I know this? Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are all broken. Our souls are broken. But there's two kinds of people. I think there are people who are totally unaware that anything in them is broken.
Yeah.
Oblivious.
Oblivious. For sure. They're just going about their daily life. I'm basically a good person. I'm better than most people. Unaware that anything inside of them is broken. That's one group. This second group, I think, is most people. There's a general sense that something's not quite right.
Yeah.
Something's off. And in my story, this was the category that I would have fallen in. Something wasn't right.
And you try to fix it.
I tried to fix it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know quite what it was. I didn't know that it was a fracture. So that's the second group of people. People who have a general sense that something inside them is not right. Something's broken. And either they aren't sure what to do about it, or they're kind of just content to go on ignoring it, managing it, suppressing it.
Kind of take it upon themselves to go, oh, I think I know how to heal this.
What do you think of those two categories? Do you agree that most people fall into the second? Or do you think there are a lot of people who are totally unaware that anything in them is broken?
No, I think they mostly fall into the second. I think that, I mean, if you live more than a couple of days, you're probably recognizing that something is off inside of you, that you're longing for something. That no matter what you do, some things just you can't win over them. You know, all these different types of things. You're going to find those things out pretty quickly.
The only fix for a broken soul is Jesus. So we're going to build a strong case for this today. Maybe you're listening and you have that general sense of, man, something in my life is just not right. You know, I'm going through the motions. I'm trying to show up and do my job. I'm trying to show up and be present for my family. But man, something's not right. Maybe you need a good x-ray today, a good diagnostic. What is it that's broken and what's the fix? We'll talk about it.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
When are you going to stop trying to fix your own life? This is Carl and Crew Mornings. It's Freedom Friday. All of us are broken. We're born that way. We are born into sin. Romans 3:23-24. Maybe a verse you're familiar with, have heard before, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it doesn't stop there. That's the broken part. Here's the fixed part, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So here's a question I have for the team. What do you think? I told a story about fracturing my ankle in college, playing college volleyball, and not knowing that it was fractured. Eventually, it was pain that led me to go and get an x-ray and determine this wasn't just an ordinary sprain as I'd had before. This was actually something more serious. What do you think are the indicators of a soul that's broken? How does that manifest itself to the point where you go and you have to seek help?
I think, as you mentioned, it wasn't healing. The hurt was continuing, if not getting worse. So it began to trickle into other areas of your life, which you thought would be healing. I would be quicker. I'd be back to practice. I would be this. It's like, no, it was like things were actually being taken away from you because the pain was getting worse.
So does that translate? You think that's true in our, in
yeah.
our lives?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We think we can go a certain direction and go a certain way. And no, it's going to trickle and it's going to have a negative effect in the so-called path you think you're wanting to take.
That's a good indicator of a broken soul. What do you say, Jonathan?
Yeah, just to kind of go on top of that, I mean, I think for me, I can point out areas where if it didn't affect other people in my life, I probably would have stayed on those paths.
Right.
Just trying to, you know, conceal it and just push it under the rug and keep moving forward. But it did. It did trickle out. It did. That pain did increase. And therefore, the pain inside me increased as well. And so I think what Diana's saying is right on that. Usually if it's just with inside you, and it's kind of at that minor level, I can push under the rug, but it never stays that way.
Yeah.
It will always come out bubbling over the top, to a point where you just can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
What would you add, Sputnik? Anything?
I think definitely relationships is kind of the key indicator that something's not right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can try as hard as you want, like to make that marriage work or make your relationship with your kids better. But I think when we realize that we're all sinful people and we're all broken and our relationships are broken, I think that it's easy to look around and see that.
Yeah. So there's great feedback from the team here. What do you think? What are some indicators of a broken life? We've kind of identified pain, relational conflict, trying to go a direction and kind of being hindered. I came across a video yesterday of Tom Brady, of all people. This was back when he was, I think, around 27 at this point.
Oh, wow.
He was young. He was being interviewed by some, you know, network for some show, and he was talking to me. He had run 3 Super Bowls at that point in the interview.
Wow.
And so the part that was really fascinating, they were talking about all of his wins and how he doesn't really love the stardom that comes with playing football. He kind of just wants to be a quarterback and play.
Really?
He doesn't love the stardom. And one thing that was fascinating is he goes, you know, won 3 Super Bowls, and a lot of people would say, like, man, this is, you've gotten everything you ever wanted. Like, this was the goal. And he was really contemplative and kind of reflective on his life. And he goes, you know, but there's part of me that's like, is this it? Like, is there, you know, what is it that keeps me pursuing? Like, there has to be, like, there's more. Like, and it was so interesting because I think there on one side, you are aware of the brokenness of your soul when you kind of hit rock bottom. But then I think there's something about reaching the top whatever you thought you want and realizing, man,
that didn't satisfy. That didn't feel good like I thought I was going to.
That wasn't it.
That didn't fix it.
That didn't fix it. So you may be listening, and I want to just pause here. And you resonate. This resonates with you on many levels because you've felt all of these things, whether it's you are at rock bottom today and you are aware of your brokenness in a fresh way. It's right in front of you. It's all around you. Or you're doing all right in life. You've got a good family. You've got a good job. Maybe you're making okay money and something about it just isn't filling you. Well, that's an evidence of a broken soul too. So here's the deal. A broken soul is only fixed by Jesus. It's not fixed by more success. It's not fixed by finally getting your life together. Jesus is the one who fixes your life. Not that you just wave a magic wand and everything is perfect, but that longing of your soul for purpose, for meaning, for love, for hope, for direction, every single need that you have, those fundamental needs, all of that is in Jesus. So if you don't know him today, if you are out there living life, trying to do the best you can I just humbly ask you to stop? Stop trying to do the best you can. And acknowledge what's true about you, that you are broken and you need a savior. Just call out to God right now. Wherever you are, you might be on the way to work. You might be in the privacy of your home. Have an honest conversation with God, acknowledging, I am a sinner. I am broken. I cannot fix myself. And today, I want you to fix me. Will you be my savior? Will you be my Lord? You don't have to understand all of it right now. I promise you, you don't have to understand everything. It doesn't have to make perfect sense. You don't have to know how all this is going to go. But you do have to reach a point where you acknowledge that I can't do this. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, and you did what you said you did for me. If that's you, when you have a moment and can do so safely, just text us one word. Just text me to 312-274-9624. Text me to 312-274-9624. I just want to send you something that's going to give you some encouragement and some next steps. Just text me, 312-274-9624. Still want to get some stories from you. When did you stop trying to fix your broken soul? You turned to Jesus to do that. 312-274-9624. John, first-time caller from Elmwood Park. You found Jesus when you came to the end of yourself. Give us your story.
Hi. So, yes, it started when I was about 13, and then I slowly began to kind of get anxious and depressed, and as I got to be, you know, 16, 17, I mean, I was just getting to the point, I left my friends, and I just got to the point where I was just getting broken and broken and broken, and then until the time I was 23, I was just so full of anxiety, and I was at work one day working outdoor in construction, and a guy, I was sitting in the back seat, and he was just talking about God, and I just you know, he asked if I wanted to invite Jesus in my heart, and I didn't even understand it or anything, but I was like, God, I'm ready to give you a chance, because I didn't have any of that. I've been through so much. And so I just, at that point, I gave him my life, and I never turned back since. I'm 51 today. So,
wow. Oh, John, how long ago was that?
So that was in 1993. Wow. I was on the highway February 3rd at 7:45 in the morning. I'll never forget it.
Unbelievable. Wow. John, thank you so much for your story this morning. John, first-time caller from Elmwood Park. What about you? Wow. You found Jesus at the end of yourself. Give us your story on this Freedom Friday, 312-274-9624. Man, 1993.
There you go.
51 years old today.
Oh, praise God. Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
Romans 3:23 through 24 is the verses we've been highlighting today. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So the problem, universal for every single person, no matter what part of the city you live in, no matter what part of the world, no matter what your family was like, no matter how much money you have or don't have, the universal problem for every single person is sin. We are all broken because of our sin nature. That's the problem. The fix is Jesus. This is an overly simplistic way of looking at things. But if you want to boil it down, your biggest problem is you. My biggest problem is me. Regardless of other things that have happened in my life that were hard, that were painful, that were wrong, that were difficult, all of us have to account for ourselves first.
Yeah,
I don't have to give account for anyone else.
Mm-mm. No,
just
me. Mm-hmm. Which reaction, on the one hand, it's like great, but on the other hand, it's like,
it's kind of easier to point out other people's flaws.
Exactly. But I have to give an account for my own life. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing: because each of us is born into sin, I don't want to give an account on my life based on my own merit. That's a sobering, scary thought. The fact that that I would stand before God and try to stand on my own merit, my own achievement, my own accomplishments, my own life in the face of a holy God, no one measures up. There's not a single person who's lived a perfect, sinless life other than Jesus. So right. Do I really want to stand before God based on what I've done? No. That's scary.
You're getting a little hard there, Ellie.
But that's the reality of it, that all of us will stand before God. And you have two options. One option is to stand before God based on your own goodness, and I'll use that in air quotes because no one's good, and to try to look at your life and say, this is what I did. This is, you know what? It won't matter.
No.
Because every person has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if the glory of God, the perfection is the standard, then nobody measures up. Here's the other option, and I pray that you'll choose this option, is that you can stand in the righteousness of Christ. You can stand where you're not standing on anything you've done or not done. You're standing in the perfection of Jesus, who did it all for you, who went to the cross, who to take your sin, to take your shame, to take your brokenness and make you whole. I want to stand in the righteousness of Christ.
Yes, because there's so much freedom there.
There's so much freedom. Do I still mess up? Absolutely. But it's the grace of God that carries me through each day. And I want that for you. I do. I genuinely want that for you. That's what our team wants for you. I don't know what you're up against this morning. I don't know why you turned on this radio station or picked up your phone and turned on this app this morning, but you're here, and I believe God has you here for a reason. So if you've never considered what the end of your life will look like, I pray that you'll consider this morning. Do I want to stand on my own merit, try to defend myself, or do I want to stand in the perfection of Christ?
Mm.
Something to consider this morning.
Yep.
Yes.
So what do you say? What does that take? What does it take for you to take on the righteousness of Christ, to not be trying to stand on your own merit? Well, it takes a complete acknowledgement of your own sin and your own brokenness. You can't stand before Jesus in this moment and say, well, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty good person. I give to charity. I volunteer when I can. Nope. You have to confess what's true about you, and that you are utterly and completely helpless, that your sin has left you totally broken, whether you can see it or not. That's the state of your soul. And that apart from Jesus, you have nothing. There's nothing good in you. If you can say that with full confidence this morning, then I can say with full confidence that you're ready. You are absolutely ready for Jesus. So cry out to him right now and say, God, I am a sinner. I can't fix my own life. I can't make myself whole. So I confess my sin to you. I repent, which just means to acknowledge what's true, to turn from one way to go the opposite way. Today, I turn to you, Jesus. Will you be my Savior? Will you be my Lord? If that's you, have that conversation, honest before God, just you and God. You don't need anyone else with you. And when you do that, just text the word ME, M-E, to 312-274-9624. That is the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus, that there's nothing you can do, that he paid it all. He did everything, and there's a free gift available to you, but you have to take hold of it. If that's you, text the word ME to 312-274-9624. Would love to hear from those of you who have done this. You've acknowledged, you've confessed your sin. You say, you know what? I stopped trying to fix my broken life a long time ago. I realized that Jesus is the way. Give us a call. Tell us your story. 312-274-9624. Deborah's calling in this morning from DeKalb. Deborah, give us your story.
Yeah, as I was saying, when I was a little girl, my grandma, she always instilled it in me, and I used to look at the Bible, and I didn't understand some of the stuff, and I was just like, when I came across the scripture about that, to be his disciple, you got to hate your mother, your father. Well, my mom was someone that I always cherished, so I didn't understand, and I'm like, what kind of God is this? So I went on about my business, but it wasn't until, like, when my mom moved away, and she moved to Florida, and I was just crushed, and it was just something, I couldn't explain it, that was just saying, please, you know, just seek God, like, with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and that moment changed my life. And then years later, the Holy Spirit brought that scripture up and, like, really edified me and really showed me what that means. It means you can't put anyone in front of him, not even your mother, your brother, everybody, not to hate them like what we think hate means, but we have to put everybody in their proper relationship, because we're human and we're going to do what we are supposed to do, but we got to put it in God. So it's when I realized where to put God, it really changed my life.
Yep. Deborah, thank you so much. I hear you. We actually talked about that passage of scripture earlier in this week about hating a mother and a father. And that really speaks to the prioritizing of importance. It can't be mom and dad. It can't be family over everything. It's Christ first. And then other relationships fall in line. And when those relationships put us at odds with Christ, our ultimately our allegiance is to him.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Dr. Winfred Neely is joining us right now, senior pastor of Judson Baptist Church of Oak Park. He's also vice president and dean of Moody Theological Seminary. Dr. Neely, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Well, Allie, thank you so very much for having me. Honored to be with you.
So let's talk about this. Oftentimes we get a sense that something in us is not right. We may come to find out later that this is actually the work of the Holy Spirit. But our spiritual condition from the very beginning is broken. Break that down from a theological standpoint.
Well, you know, when I was a little boy, there was a nursery rhyme. And it's interesting how a lot of good theology is in some of these nursery rhymes.
Okay.
There was a nursery rhyme, and I've used it in churches. Whenever I start saying it, then everybody starts just kind of joining me. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a big fall. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again.
Yep.
And that is the image of humanity. Mm. All of us are Humpty Dumpties. All of us are fallen. And all of us, frankly, have lives that are broken. And the king's horses, the king's men, the government, and every other resource that we have cannot put us back together again. And the only person who can do that is King Jesus.
Oh. Romans 3:23, Dr. Neely, I want to take us to this verse. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is a good summary of our brokenness, our broken state. For all have sinned. What, for someone who's not familiar even with that term, what do we mean by sin?
You know, that's a very good question. Sin is anything that falls short of the character of God. God is perfect. He is holy. And sin is anything that does not conform to his character, and that is expressed in his word. And all have sinned. And in a real sense, you know, this is where our first parents come into view, Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. And because of our identification with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, we sinned as well. And also, and even in terms of our own personal lives, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, I mean, you're right. This verse supports that the idea, the notion, the existential reality that all of us are broken, all of us have sinned, all of us fall short of the glory of God, and all of us stand in desperate need of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, what about this second part of this verse, this fall short of the glory of God? First of all, what is the glory of God? Is that just the perfection of God?
Oh, my goodness. You know, the glory of God is the perfection of his character.
Mm-hmm.
All the totality of who God is in expression is the glory of God, the glory of his person, the wonder of his being, the thrilling, inexpressible, unspeakable radiance of his character. One text says he dwells in unapproachable light. I mean, he is just so incredibly awesome and thrilling and wonderful in his infinitude and his character and his perfections. And all of these together constitute the glory of God, and none of us measure up to it.
Mm. Now, I put forth this sort of idea this morning, and I'm wondering if you agree or disagree. I think there are two types of people. Those who are totally unaware that anything in them is broken. So they think, mm-hmm, I'm basically a good person. I pretty much do good things. That's the first category. And the second category of people are those who have a general sense that something in them is not right and aren't really sure what to do about, or kind of unwilling to even go there. What do you think?
Yeah.
Those two categories accurate? Is there anything you would add?
Well, you know, I think those are some pretty good categories. And let me try to add some from my own personal testimony.
Sure.
You know, I think I was on with you when I talked about my conversion experience to Christ. Now, one of the things that when I came to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior when I was 19 years old, I trusted Jesus. And one of the things that I literally experienced was the lifting of a burden, the burden of guilt. And for I hope Christians are still reading Pilgrim's Progress. If they if your listeners are hearing me and referencing Pilgrim's Progress, if they haven't read it, they should go out and get it. I mean, it's a classic book written by John Bunyan, and he talks about while he's leaving the city of destruction, and he comes to the cross. It's the image of the cross, and he understands that Jesus dies for him. And all of this time, he's been carrying a sack on his back. He's not aware of it. But it's when he comes to know Christ that that burden, that sack falls off of his back. And this is the image of the burden and guilt of sin that all of us carry. We may not even be aware that we have this burden until we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and experience deliverance from it. And yet, on the other hand, people do sense that something is out of place, and they're looking for something, for example, the Lord has given me the opportunity to travel a lot to different places. And I've been to Israel 7 times, have a deep heart for Israel and the Jewish people, so forth and so on. But one of the things that strikes me about Israel is that it is a very religious place. I mean, you have Muslims there and other religious groups there. Very, very religious. Very, very religious place. Then when I went over to Amsterdam several years ago, they have these places in there where everybody is smoking marijuana. I think they call them cafes. It's either the coffee shop or the cafe, but one of the places is where they smoke marijuana. So and you smell the marijuana smoke all in the street. Then I went over to Las Vegas I was traveling through there to go to a conference. And what do you call these things where you, I forget what you call the things now, when you put your money in to try to get money and win something?
A slot machine?
Yeah, the slot machine. Okay. The slot machines are in the airport. Think of this. You step off the plane and Las Vegas, they got slot machines in the airport. So I ask myself, why we got all this religiosity in Israel? All of the pot smoking in Amsterdam, all of the slot machines in Las Vegas. And I think it's a fundamental quest for God. People don't know that's what it is. Something is wrong. And they're trying to find satisfaction and help or some kind of fulfillment, right? Either through religiosity, through getting high, or through gambling, and all of these are indicators that there's something wrong with people, and they don't even know often that what's really driving this is a thirst for God and restlessness for Jesus. They don't know it.
Yep.
You know, I was they had this thing on television the other night about space and space exploration and how we're longing for space and all of this, and I'm thinking, you know what? You get on a ship, you get to the stars, you're all at that how wonderful creation is, but you get out there and realize that even that cannot satisfy the deep longings of the heart, and only Jesus can do that. And I think this is what the Bible says, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. So if you're sensing this longing, you're sensing this brokenness, you're sensing that something is out of place, this is what the Bible calls thirst. And the way to get that thirst satisfied is to come to Jesus.
Yep. And we're going to give you an opportunity coming up to do just that. We established this first part of this Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 24 is full of hope. Hope for you on the way. Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast. Romans 3:23, we focused on, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But you can't stop there. Verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Dr. Winfred Neely joining us, senior pastor of Judson Baptist Church of Oak Park, vice president and dean of Moody Theological Seminary. The only fix, Dr. Neely, for a broken life, for a broken soul, is Jesus. What does it mean to be justified by his grace?
You know, this is really, really wonderful to be justified. So, and when we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, God justifies us. That is, he declares us to be right in his sight, mm-hmm. as if we have never sinned. And the reason why God is able to do this is because Jesus died on the cross for all of our sins, past, present, future. He died for all of our sins. And as a result of his death, he satisfied the justice of God that was due to you and me, the justice of God that was against us, that really, frankly, should have sent us to hell, frankly. But God's justice has been satisfied now, meaning then that when we trust Christ, it is a just and righteous act of God to bring you and me and anyone else who receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior into eternal relationship with himself based on the work of Christ on the cross. And this is and this changes our status.
Yes.
You know, on Facebook, you know, you have status updates on Facebook, and you know, you get the thumbs up. So when you trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God updates your status, and you have three thumbs up from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And this is the act of the grace of God.
So, Dr. Neely, this is maybe a review for some people. Maybe some people are going, yeah, I know the gospel. I've heard the gospel. But hearing it afresh, hearing it for the first time, there's no greater truth in the world.
No, I agree with you. I agree. And yeah, that's right. I mean, this is where a person's eternal destiny is determined by what they do with Jesus. And you open up, a person trusts Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, God justifies them. Now, that's not the only thing that God does at conversion. I mean,
right.
We could have a whole series about that. He reconciles us. He gives us new life in Christ. He makes us a child of God. We become exalted in the heavenlies in Jesus. We are sanctified, set apart for God for all eternity. All of this stuff happens simultaneously when we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And justification is just one of these saving events that one of these things that God does in our life when we trust Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It is absolutely thrilling. It's absolutely thrilling to know Jesus. There isn't anything better in the universe than a personal relationship with him. And I honestly think that we have, in some sense, lost the wonder of helping people know. We've lost the wonder of helping people understand the glory of entering into a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not that you become a religious person. You become a person who's brought into eternal relationship with God through faith in Christ, and that conversion encounter with him is absolutely life-transforming. It's just the beginning. It's just the exception, but it's a crucial moment in the life of any person.
So for the person who's listening, Dr. Neely, and says, okay, I'm ready. I'm not even sure what's happening, but I see that my life is broken and I see that Jesus is the answer. Would you pray with that person right now who says, you know what, I'm ready?
Yeah, I will. I'll do that. And wherever you are, if you're in your car or get somewhere, pull over to the side of the road, you know, get somewhere quiet and just pray in your heart after me. Make sure you do it in faith. Trust God. Take him at his word. God is good. He loves you. He cares deeply about you. And Lord Jesus, I pray for those that are listening. And I'm going to pray this prayer, Lord. And it's my hope that others would pray with me. I know that I am a sinner. And I am a broken person. I have sinned against you. I have sought fulfillment and satisfaction in so many ways, and I have come up wanting, and my dissatisfaction is even deeper. But I thank you that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on a cross for me. He died for all of my sins, and I thank you for that. And I open up my heart. I receive him. I trust your son Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I repent. I turn from my wicked ways. I turn from my sins. And I turn, Lord Jesus Christ, to you. Thank you for your gift of salvation. Thank you for the Spirit of God. I pray that you give me the grace now to live the rest of my time on earth according to your word and the power of the Spirit and for your highest glory and honor. In Jesus' name, I pray and thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you to Dr. Neely for being with us this morning. If that's you and you just prayed along with Dr. Neely, would you do one more thing for us? Just text the word ME. When you can do so safely, just text ME to 312-274-9624. We have a resource that's going to encourage you and give you some next steps. Just text ME to 312-274-9624. To connect with Pastor Neely, just go to JudsonOakPark.com.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Great guest with us right now, Paul Schmitz. He's the executive director and co-founder of a ministry, an organization called Shower Up Chicago.
This is an outreach, and I mean a good one. Paul, good morning. Good to have you with us, my man.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be with you. Thank you so much.
All right. I love this. This is Shower Up Chicago. You got to explain this. Shower grace, hope, and love. You're wanting to pour it out on people that are what exactly, Paul?
Well, Shower Up provides mobile showers and personal care for those who are experiencing homelessness and for those who are in need, you know, maybe disaster relief and things like that. But really, when we shower grace, we shower hope, we shower love, we're doing some things that are deeper than just getting people clean. We're helping to provide some hope. We're helping to show God's love to them. And we want them to understand that, hey, we're all in this together. This isn't just you and me on opposite sides of a fence. We're on the same team.
Now, Chicago area is home to nearly 10 million people, and 80,000 are categorized as unhoused, 10 to 15,000 living on the street without shelter. These numbers definitely indicate there's a need for something like this, Paul.
There really is. And honestly, those numbers are probably on the low side, especially during the summer.
Yeah.
And that's when the need's most keenly felt, is when you've gone through a hot day, when you're just sitting there and you're just baking throughout the entire day and you have no way to get a shower. There's really nothing like this in Chicago where there's someone going out to the camps. And we've all seen them. We've driven, you know, under the overpasses. We have seen the camps lined up on the sidewalks. And we've been there. And we've done some preview events in Chicago. We've served some of these friends that are living in these camps. And when we say we're going to come to you and provide you with showers and give you the opportunity to get not only clean, but refreshed and renewed. Man, the energy, the excitement, the relief that we see on people's faces is unbelievable.
That is awesome. All right, really quick, give me a story. We are big on stories around here, Paul. Give us a story about Shower Up. How have you seen this change someone's life?
Well, Danny's a good friend of ours. We served Danny for about a year and a half. And one day Danny got himself a shower. He was sitting on the curb and he was just kind of putting his stuff together in his backpack. He was folding up some of his clothes and things like that. And I looked at him and I thought, okay, here's a guy folding his clothes to stick into a backpack to take back to a tent. But that guy still has hope. Well, we actually posted Danny's story on our social media and used the phrase, this person still has hope. Well, Danny saw it. And he came to us and said, you know, guys, thank you for what you do for us. You may not see me for a while. I didn't see Danny for 6 months. Danny showed back up one week, and I'm like, Danny, what are you doing here? And he goes, well, I just wanted to come by and tell you what's happening with me. I said, okay, well, let's hear it. He said, well, first of all, I want to show you how I got here. And he walked me over to his pickup truck that he was restoring.
Oh,
and I
man.
Said, Danny, this is great. He goes, Paul, I read what you wrote. When you said that this person still has hope, he said, I realized I still do have hope. He said, I went out that next week. I found a job, and I found a guy who would let me work and let me work on my truck, and I found an apartment. He says, Paul, I've been off the street. I've got a great job. My life is great. I'm not doing some of the things that I was doing before, and now I actually have a future.
That's awesome.
And he just came back to say, thank you. It's amazing to see what hope can do for someone's life, and sometimes that hope comes through something as simple as a shower.
We are featuring Shower Up Chicago right now. Shower grace, hope, and love. Our guest, Paul Schmitz, coming up. Big weekend in Chicago, kicking this thing
love
off.
It.
We'll tell you about it.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
With us right now, Paul Schmitz. He is the executive director and co-founder of Shower Up Chicago. Guys, launch weekend this weekend. You teed it up right, Allie.
Yes. Give us a preview of what this launch weekend looks like, Paul.
Well, we've done some preview events throughout the summer in Chicago. We've been able to shower some friends and connect with some other nonprofits and some businesses. And so this weekend, we are really kind of seeing the fulfillment of that as we're going to start regular outreach to Chicago. And so this weekend, actually tonight, out of the 21st District, and we're going to be serving a community that has some camps, that has some people that are really in need. Tomorrow, we're actually going to be at Tui Park on the north side and serving there from noon to 2. And then Sunday is kind of our big day. Sunday's where we started, at West Chicago and North Albany. And there's a camp there, and those friends know us, and we know them and love them. And so this weekend is the big launch event. And we're so grateful for everyone that has not only come out to volunteer, but also financially supported. You know, as a nonprofit organization, we rely on that. And so we're grateful for those that have helped to make this all possible.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's called Shower Up Chicago. Now, this is how you find it, guys. You want to check this out. showerup.org. I don't know how you got that one. I didn't think Shower Up would still be out there, but showerup.org. Check it out right there. I got to tell you, Paul, this is killer ministry. One last question. Do you dish up the gospel into these guys? And how does the gospel work its way in with Grace, Hope, and Love?
Well, so the Grace, Hope, and Love, that's a three-point sermon right there. But the way that this really works is it's all about relationships first. We want to build a relationship first. And what we find is that the conversation naturally happens. Honestly, the gospel comes to us from them as often as the other way around. And we really do find that the conversations happen, that when we build that relationship first, then there's an opportunity to speak into someone's life. There's an opportunity there to share that grace, hope, and love that we all know.
Shower Up Chicago. We've got a keyword for you. Thanks to Superdie. Make it super easy. Just text the word up to 312-274-9624. Just two little letters, UP, up to 312-274-9624. We'll get you all the details.
Thanks, Paul, and Godspeed to you this weekend, my man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.